My name is Sarah Condon, and I am the new chaplain for Autry House Episcopal Church at Rice. I introduced myself to you, I guess it was September, right when I started, and I said that Palmer is my Barbie dream house church, and I meant it. I'm really, really glad to be here with you all this morning. So why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, we ask that we can rest in your mercy, Lord, that we can rest in it and trust it so much, trust your faithfulness so much, Lord, that we can share it with others. We pray for the one who preaches, Lord, for you know her sins are many. Amen. So, "Great is thy faithfulness" is a church hymn that is very dear to my heart, although it is not one I grew up singing in the Episcopal church I was raised in. It is one that I love to sing while standing at my grandmother's side at the First Baptist Church in Rosedale, Mississippi. It felt like a song about how much God loves me, about how faithful God is to me even when my faith falters. The song goes, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be." Now, if you had asked me where in Scripture this phrase, "Great is thy faithfulness," comes from, I would have definitely told you it was a book with a little bit more joy than the book of Lamentations. But there it is, right smack in the middle of a book in the Bible so sad that you can know nothing about the Bible, but when you hear the book of Lamentations, you're like, oh, that's the sad book, right? And yet this is precisely where we find that comforting phrase, "Great is thy faithfulness." I just want to reread a little bit of what we heard this morning, because it is so jarring to hear the phrase as it is written. "The thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. This steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." First, I want to say that this should remind us that Christianity is not a religion that promises to make us happy. In fact, it doesn't promise that at all. It is a religion for people who need forgiveness, which is everyone. In our gospel for this morning, the disciples are asking Jesus to increase their faith. But we need to hear why they ask this, because in the previous verse, Jesus tells them this. He says, "If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." I have to say, this hits me in a whole different way as a mother, but so when you hear that, it makes all the sense in the world that the gospel that we have for this morning starts with the disciples demanding that Jesus increase their faith. Because what an impossible charge Jesus has laid out for them and for us, to forgive and then to keep forgiving. This week we witnessed impossible forgiveness, through the brother of Botham Jean. Botham, as I'm sure you all know, was murdered in his own home by a Dallas police officer named Amber Geiger. And we know some really hard, awful stuff. We know that she not only killed him, but that she knew protocol that could save his life, and she ignored it. We know she waited for him to die. It is the stuff of a horror movie. Except for so many people of color in our country, this is just a horror movie that they have to endure all the time. This is their reality. And so through this trial, we have collectively wanted vengeance. Even as a priest, or perhaps more importantly, or definitely more importantly, as a Christian, as a daughter, a beloved daughter of God, I have wanted vengeance for this family. for Botham. I've wanted everything to be taken away from Amber Geiger the same way it was taken away from Botham. Which is why it was so jarring to see Brant John stand there and to not only offer her forgiveness. And this is very important. He not only offers her forgiveness, but what else does he do? He invites her into a life in Christ. That is the thing that happened. He told her that Christianity is a religion for people who need forgiveness. That's what happened. And he embraced her. He hugged her, echoing the prodigal son, right? The return home to the father. One of my favorite theologians, a guy named Robert Capon, once wrote, "What has really made a mess of the world? Grace? Forgiveness? Turning the other cheek? Or is it guilt, punishment, vengeance, and retribution?" The response to his speech was overwhelming, and this is always what happens when mercy and grace are offered instead of deserved judgment. When we see someone forgive someone else for something unforgivable, we begin to instantly reflect on those people in our lives that we have to forgive. That's why it hits this intrinsic thing in us, right? And also, we realize that our own sinfulness is forgiven too, and we find ourselves dumbfounded, weeping, even angry about it. Brant John found himself smack in the middle of his own book of lament, right? Faced with his brother's murderer, he looked to God. He looked to God in that moment, and he said, "You are faithful, Lord. Great is your faithfulness," right? And then he looked to the woman who took everything from him, and he gave her back her life, which, to be very clear, she did not deserve. People in my life, good, faithful Christian people, have said to me this week, there's no way I could have forgiven that woman in that way. There's no way I could have hugged her. And I want to say this. You actually do not know what you would do. You just don't. You've no idea. You do not know how the Holy Ghost might move you. You do not know how far the bounds of God's faithfulness and forgiveness go until you find yourself in a situation where you need more of it than you ever imagined. And you may be Brant John, you may be the forgiver, but you may be Amber Geiger, you may be the guilty. One of my favorite preaching mentors has a saying that, we are all 3 days away from being tabloid news, and many of us are already on day two. So you don't know which side of that you'll be on. But to turn away from this story, to deny you could ever forgive in that way, is on some level to deny your own forgiveness. It is to deny the power of God working in you to forgive. It is to deny the faithfulness of God who, as Paul writes to the Ephesians, does more than we could ever ask or imagine. We do not know the limits of our own forgiveness until we find ourselves in our own book of lament. Because it is in our book of lament where we clearly see the faithfulness of God. And so alongside that powerful testimony that Brant John gave about his ability to forgive his brother's murderer, we also have testimony from Botham John's mother. And it's important because she lost a son, a child, a grown man who she carried in her womb and proudly raised into a remarkable human being. And so she said this at her church this week. She said, "There are many Christians I know who jumped from the week of his death and asked me if I would forgive Amber. I will leave my forgiveness to Amber and to myself. God knows my heart. God knows my heart." I would tell you that Miss Jean is saying, "Great is thy faithfulness to God," in her own way. And it's important for us to hear that. Jesus tells us if we had the faith of a mustard seed, we could move mountains. To be clear, that's not very much faith, right? Mustard seeds are very small. And this is precisely why, because the faithfulness of God is actually all that we need. it is all we can trust, and it is actually all that we really have, because our own faith can grow weary. It can fluctuate from one day to the next. It can fail us. But God's faithfulness is a mighty force. As the psalmist tells us, the Lord lifts up the humble and casts the wicked to the ground. God rails against the injustices of this world and also offers mercy to those who do not deserve it. The faithfulness of God is a mirror in which to see our own sinfulness, our own neglect, our own indifference. And it is also a light of mercy to heal it. So I just want to leave you with the verses of that old song that I love so much. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Amen.